Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. A Netflix documentary. A Great Wall star and DJM Holding. Explosion Art and Insurgent Docs production in association with Rock Paper Scissors Entertainment. Two Chinese girls ride bicycles past the gates of a vast corporate campus. Out front, a groundskeeper sweeps the pavement with a straw broom. Inside the gates, colored doors lie open to a long factory building where machines wrap brown tape around fist-sized balls. A worker slips clear plastic caps over flat, glossy red strips resembling sticks of gum. Others assemble stacks of hollow cardboard domes with wicks through their tops. An older man eats from a plastic container on his lunch break. A machine pumps out sturdy cardboard tubes. A worker stacks honeycomb-like hexagonal bundles of smaller tubes on a cart. Another man shovels fine-grained dirt over a box riddled with holes in a hexagonal pattern. A worker sleeps on a mat near stacks of the cardboard tubes. A machine fills one of the bundles with a clay-like substance. Working at a table, a woman wraps nubs the size of shotgun shells in tape and stands them in a circular woven basket. Outside, cement walkways with ramshackle rooftops encircle a red clay hill and wind along a row of small buildings toward a forest. A worker in a chemical mask pushes a cart holding a metal tub.
More than 1,000 years ago, when the Chinese discovered gunpowder, they were actually looking for an elixir to make them immortal.
Another worker in a chemical mask shakes powder through a sifter.
While they were studying it, the medicine, boom, it exploded. So they came up with the name fire medicine.
A worker fills a hollow sphere with pebbles and granules.
Over time, Chinese people started to use it in celebrations. They created many beautiful nights.
The worker wraps tape around the two halves of the sphere to keep it sealed, then casually tosses it aside. Elaborate firework displays go off in various locales.
The work of legendary artist Saigo Shang is the talk of the contemporary art scene, with his art blowing up all over the world.
A retrospective of his works at the Guggenheim Museum in New York brought in record numbers.
Saigo Shang signs copies of an art book.
The Olympics opening ceremony is right around the corner, and as the creative visual force behind it, Saigo Shang spent years working up to this point.
In footage shot by Araki Takahisha, fire races across a field faster than a speeding train. More incendiary displays go off at art galleries and over an empty lot outside a warehouse. Flames erupt from the Beijing National Stadium. Fireworks race in a ring shape around the desert terrain. People record the event on their cameras and cell phones. An explosion in the sky leaves behind specks of black powder that evoke a flock of birds. As white smoke overtakes the image, letters ignite like sparklers, then burn out, leaving behind a charred title. Skyladder, the art of Saigo Shang. Text appears in front of a steel arch bridge. Liang, fireworks capital of China. Customers wait in line at an open-air restaurant counter. Signs bear lettering in both Chinese and English. Liang Fireworks and Firecrackers Federation. Dancing fireworks, golden century of passion red fireworks show. On a rooftop, Sai, a tall man with a gray buzz cut, clambers over a pipeline with a female companion. Another man greets him with a handshake. Using a tablet, they zoom in on a photo.
This ladder's width is 5 meters, but the structure is soft. The rungs are made of bamboo poles or stainless steel. Lighter is better. Put fireworks on both sides, including the horizontal rungs, and thread them all together. How tall will this ladder be? 500 meters tall. 500 meters tall? Half a kilometer. My only concern is the weight.
Ben Yaoyu, Skyladder Fireworks Consultant.
Let me show you. We attach the ladder to a hot air balloon.
He sketches his idea on a piece of paper. Now Tatsumi Masatoshi, technical director, Sai Studio.
He always says that there's no failure or success in art. He starts all his projects with this attitude. When there are a lot of troubles or difficulties, he actually enjoys it. The Sky Ladder has failed several times.
Bath, England, 1994, first Sky Ladder attempt. Sporting a mop-top hairstyle, Sai hikes up a grassy hill overlooking the historical city.
This is where I want to make a ladder to connect the Earth to the universe.
A doodle on a window gives the impression of a ladder rising from the countryside into the clouds.
From here, you can see the top of that hill. I'm going to use it as a canvas. The explosion will draw the lines straight into the sky.
Alongside the ladder, an arrow points upward from Chinese lettering. The two sides of the ladder taper off at different points in the sky. A church tower depicts sculptures of angels climbing a ladder.
This is a ladder to heaven. In the same way Christians try to get closer to God, we are going to build a ladder that connects this town to outer space.
People in rain slickers lay out a ladder-shaped network of ropes that spans the length of a meadow. Bystanders congregate under umbrellas. A tethered hot air balloon descends toward the lawn. In the evening, a worker bunches together some of the ropes. As Sai sulks underneath an umbrella, words appear. Bath project canceled due to bad weather. His silhouette walks through a haze of smoke. Shanghai, 2001, second sky ladder attempt. Sai gestures through a bank of windows to the harbor. More words appear, canceled in the wake of 9/11 heightened terrorist threat. Sai frowns on a balcony. Los Angeles, 2012, third sky ladder attempt. Workers lay out aluminum poles as ladder rungs. An artist's rendering of proposed LA sky ladder shows the pyrotechnic artwork lighting up from bottom to top in front of the Griffith Observatory. Permit revoked due to wildfire risk. Sai gazes off absently as a woman speaks to him. Hong Hong, Sai's wife.
When he first started talking about it with me, it was his dream, and he has remained obsessed with trying to achieve it ever since.
In Bath, a rain-soaked Sai releases a red balloon and watches it fly away over the meadow. Back on the rooftop in Liyang, Ben Yao lights a firework in Sai's hand, and the artist watches a red flame flare brightly from its tip. He holds it up toward the city's skyline of new buildings under construction, then lowers it toward a ledge as he watches the flame burn out.
Two things of concern, the color and the size of the flame. It's better to show the ladder by threading the flames together, not with a series of dots. If you want to thread them together, you can use these ones. How? Line by line.
They tie the fireworks together.
Nice. This is a good idea. Everyone loves to light fireworks.
Sai watches the fuses burn down one by one and ignite a line of bright red flames.
Beautiful, isn't it? This town, we don't need permission to test fireworks here. Light it up and run.
As they set off three more fireworks, the picture cuts to a rocket taking off from a launch pad.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
In the 60s, when American astronauts landed on the moon, that was really good news, even in China. But I was sad because I thought I would never make it to space myself. But later on, I realized that art could be my space-time tunnel, connecting me to the universe.
Spectators photographed the launch.
If there was an opportunity, I would like to make a ladder into the clouds. But the purpose of this ladder wouldn't be for me to go to space. It would be to encourage a back and forth, a dialogue.
At night, an antenna spire caps the tall, thin Oriental Pearl Tower. At the base of a section lit up in purple, LED lights twinkle in a kinetic pattern around a sphere. An even larger sphere below displays lights in its own swirling pattern. Shanghai, 2014. The lights of skyscrapers glow through the haze beyond a waterfront. Two brightly lit riverboats cross paths. On a highway beneath an overpass held aloft by curved support columns, a truck tows a rotting wooden fishing boat. Later, an installation features the weather-beaten boat with lifelike fabricated animals sprawled around its deck in sullen and sickly poses. Words appear, the Ninth Wave Exhibition at the Power Station of Art. A panda bear reaches desperately from the wheelhouse. A cheetah lies with two legs hanging over the deck rail.
The Ninth Wave is the final and most dangerous wave of a tsunami. I was inspired by the Russian painting, The Ninth Wave, which represents the final struggle of humanity in the face of disaster. That's why I named this exhibition The Ninth Wave.
A painting featuring gunpowder stains on a large canvas. Inside a chimney tower, a walkway curves down along the perimeter to the floor, where three lifelike baby dolls sit on a swing that sways back and forth. The artwork's name appears, Air of Heaven. A motor up above keeps the swing moving. In another work titled Silent Ink, black water gurgles up at the center of a lake excavated out of the gallery floor.
I think his recent work does have a strong environmental subtext, because it is perhaps China's number one problem, its environmental future.
A porcelain fish clings to a canvas. In a real-life photo, dead fish fill a sea.
He has a deep social conscience. I think he cares about the world that sustains us all.
Smog blankets Shanghai. Another artwork depicts the cityscape in a state of decay.
He is, I think, trying to find that place which artists have always needed to find in Chinese society, which is to do your art with integrity and yet not completely run off the tracks and end up in a state of tension with the authorities.
Orville Schell, director, Center on U.S.-China Relations. In an installation titled Head On, a pack of nearly 100 life-size stuffed wolves arcs through the air, barreling into a pane of glass. Those hitting the transparent barrier pile up on the floor in states of anguished contortion. Others lope off woundedly toward the other end of the room to get back in line at the rear of the pack. Outside, fog envelops an enormous suspension bridge over the river. Sai directs a crew on a conjoined set of barges laden with fireworks, while spectators watch from a wharf under umbrellas and rain slickers. A number of people hold their cameras ready. Text appears. Explosion event for the opening of the Ninth Wave, Shanghai 2014, created using biodegradable colored powders. As three columns of smoke roil upwards, a chapter heading appears. 1. Elegy. More fireworks pepper the sky above with small explosions that send out dramatic cascades of smoke. One colored green, the others pale. A second round of fiery bursts emits dark gray plumes that sully the white. White streamers trail downward to the river from the blossoming cloud. Black smoke descends from the white in spiraling trickles. On one of the barges, flames erupt from the center and domino outwards to the sides as they launch black columns into the air. The smoky tendrils branch upward into the cloud, where a few objects descend languidly on tiny parachutes. A fresh round of explosions launches more dark columns in a V-shaped wing formation. A burst of flames flashes from the barge. The puffy smoke hovers in a funeral mass, its colors intermingling in shades of white, black, and purple. More launches pepper the cloud with sparks, while stalks of green smoke spring up like weeds. Incendiary flashes dance around the upper edges of the emerald green thicket, creating a constellation of twinkling lights. Gradually, the starbursts taper off to nil. Another chapter heading appears on screen. 2, Remembrance. Crisscrossing smoke effects launch from the barges, first in violet and blue, then in a multitude of colors. As they splash across the sky, they intermingle into new shades and hues. A shower of sparks corkscrews from one of the barges below. In its wake, it leaves behind a fresh cloud of colors that wafts over the river. An expanding burst of pastels ripples at its crown with tiny flashes. More grassy green stalks yield flowering pink tufts at their crests. The elegiac image remains suspended in the air for a time before starting to dissipate. In the cloud of smoke, a new chapter title appears on screen. 3, Consolation. Powerful spurts of aerial shells burst to form draping mists of primary colors in the sky. Waves of explosions light up the whimsical mass of powder and vapor. The cloud continues to expand, coated in willowy yellow tendrils, while fireworks continue to flicker warmly at its core. Filling the sky, the translucent veil of smoke glows orange from the sustained pops of light within, as if coated in a thin membrane. The pyrotechnics pick up speed before ceasing altogether. Left behind is a fuzzy yellow geyser of smoke, which diffuses to shades of green the higher it goes. The bright column billows into the clouds over the city. Elsewhere, people parade across an ancient stone bridge waving Chinese flags. Guangzhou, Fujian province, Tsai's hometown. In the muddy shallows below, boats lie in a pinwheel formation. Villagers dart through the narrow streets on motorbikes.
In the Song Dynasty, about 1,000 years ago, Guangzhou city struggled to develop. So they invited a feng shui master to investigate. He said, the city on top of the mountain nearby is taller and shaped like a fishing net, and your city is shaped like a fish. This is an ominous sign.
People pray outside a Buddhist temple.
So they built 2 pagodas in order to break this metaphorical net.
A man crosses a footbridge over a dry moat.
This shows that the city really believes in feng shui and in the unseen world. I grew up in this environment, so even in the artworks I made from a young age, I was exploring a connection to this unseen power.
A faded family photograph shows Tsai as a boy.
All the artists in Guangzhou would come to our courtyard to paint.
Was it casual or organized?
Everyone would tell each other to go to Tsai Go Chang's house on the weekends to paint, but they really came from my father, because he was a respected artist in the town.
Tsai relates the history to his eldest daughter, Wen Yu. Work appears by Tsai's father, Tsai Raking, that all feature elegant calligraphy. Some feature only a handful of Chinese characters. Others scroll on for dozens of columns. One is painted on a red ribbon. Another contains text inside conjoined circles and tiles. Ian Baruma, professor of human rights and journalism, Bard College, New York.
If you think of Tsai's relationship with his father, the calligrapher, in some ways he did break away, of course. In other ways, he didn't. In the sense that a lot of the explosion pictures are very calligraphic. And one of the things that is part of the Chinese and Japanese tradition in calligraphy as well as other arts is the act of spontaneity, that you do the calligraphy in one go, almost by instinct, as though you're not thinking.
Matchbox drawings by Tsai Raking are mounted on a wall where they depict mountainous landscapes.
His father, I think, was quite a traditional man. I think had a deep respect for Chinese culture. But, of course, in those days, to be interested in such a thing as classical Chinese calligraphy, or art for that matter, was something that was considered counter-revolutionary.
Tiananmen Square.
Our great socialist fatherland is in a bright and splendid morning. Our great teacher, great leader, great commander, and great helmsman, Chairman Mao, is the red sun in our hearts.
Well, the Cultural Revolution in China, which was largely the creation of Chairman Mao and his thinking, was that if China wanted to truly modernize, it needed to have a complete revolution. Not a revolution like America had, where we threw out the British, but a revolution that transformed society.
Text appears. The Cultural Revolution, 1966 to 1976, began when Tsai was 9 years old.
All the remnants of feudalism had to be smashed. A great new society could only be built on the ruins of the old. It's not that hard to stir young people up against their teachers and professors and fire them up in that kind of destructive idealism.
Political prisoners stand stooped over on chairs with signs draped around their necks and kneel at the mercy of an angry mob. A throng of supporters salutes Chairman Mao.
So everything that was old had to be smashed.
Anybody with any connection to either traditional culture or wealth suddenly found themselves cast out.
People chastise a man in a public square.
You know, literally, pianists had their fingers broken, and people were not allowed to perform traditional theater and that kind of thing.
Marchers hold up picket signs with pictures of Mao.
It was a tectonic, savage, and brutal period of China's modern history, and nobody escaped unscathed.
Schoolchildren march in place in lockstep with each other.
One day, someone told me, "Saigo Chang, Saigo Chang, your dog has been killed." I ran over, and they told me that my dog had been shot by some Red Guards. But later on, we took my dead dog, and everyone ate it.
You ate your dog?
Everyone saw there was an edible dog. Of course, it was sad, but people wouldn't throw that away. To be able to survive, people were happy to eat that dog. It was the reality of the times.
His father was an intellectual, his mother was illiterate. Even worse, his grandmother was extremely strong-willed. As the eldest son in a family with so much conflict, he had to look after his brothers and sisters. You painted this portrait of your father?
My father was the manager of a government-owned bookstore. He spent all his salary on books and never brought any money home.
All of it spent on books?
His only self-justification was that, although I spend money on books and not the family, one day you will.
Sitting with his daughter on his sofa, he tears up as he recounts the story. He flashes her an emotional smile, then looks away and blinks ruminatively. A colorized photograph shows children surrounding an elderly matriarch.
My grandma was always angry with him, that he never brought his earnings home. He said books were his fortune, and that they would be my fortune too.
Wen Yu swallows back her own tears.
We had to burn most of them during the Cultural Revolution. We burnt the books for 3 days and nights, mostly at night, and I helped him do it.
In a grassy lot surrounded by taller buildings, fireworks go off inside a small house, causing the front door to fall out of its frame. Rockets shoot into the dusky sky. The magnificent spectacle of fireworks rages on both inside and outside the tiny house. As a crowd watches from a distance, the name of the exhibition appears on screen: Illusion 2 Explosion Project, Berlin 2006. The fiery explosions have now ripped holes through the house's shingled roof. The colorful fireworks burst over the cityscape of office high-rises. Clouded by smoke, the house is ravaged by the violent detonations. Back in Quanzhou, a pagoda towers over the neighboring homes.
Sai sits peacefully with an arm propped on his raised knee.
You happy here?
Yeah. 很多回忆. Yeah. 这个城市呢,
lots of memories. Those tall buildings weren't here in those days. I grew up on East Street, and my wife, still my girlfriend then, grew up on South Street. It would take me around 8 to 10 minutes on a bicycle from my house to her house.
In a film clip from the spring and fall of a small town directed by Lao Tai, Fujian Film Studio, a young Sai and two others barge into a man's home.
What's up? Did you see Ping?
To be honest, before I met him, I had seen him in a movie as a villain, which didn't leave me with a very good impression.
In a movie still, Sai lies in a corner, aiming a gun.
When I met him, his whole lifestyle was very different from everyone else's.
Photos show him posing in a lake at the base of a waterfall.
It was just that Sai had a lot of energy. From morning to night, he would work constantly.
A picture shows him working in bed. In another, a teenage Sai leans against the corner of a home garden with his arms folded.
When I was young, I was timid and cautious.
A photo shows him slouched in front of paintings in an art studio.
My work was overly influenced by my father, following the same conventional pattern.
An impressionistic oil painting depicts a seashore.
I was searching for an energy, the kind that would disrupt my art. In my hometown, firecrackers and fireworks are used to deliver various messages in daily life.
In a scratchy black and white photo, a young Ma Top Sai gazes upward pensively.
So I thought of gunpowder. In the beginning, I tried shooting toy rockets onto canvas, but the canvas caught fire.
A photo shows him crouching over a scorched canvas.
Playing with gunpowder set me free.
A series of photos depicts his process of contained explosions.
It's exploding history. You know, if you're putting gunpowder onto oil paint and blowing it up, I mean, that's literally destroying your own creation. When this is something you're taught your entire artistic life, and you're blowing it up and calling that art, calling that moment art, and that's already turning the idea of what art is on its head.
Jennifer Wen Ma, artist and former director, Sai Studio. Now text appears, study for Skyladder Project, Long Island, New York, 2015. Using a marker taped to a pole, Sai draws on a gridded piece of cardboard laid out on the ground while consulting some pictures in his hand. His rough sketch depicts fishing boats on the water a good distance away from a coastal village. He traces a few of the lines in a different color. Four of his female assistants carve out some of the shapes with box cutters. Next, the team twists long strips of tape into tight coils. Sai secures one of the coiled strips onto another cardboard flooring. Tinier curled scraps are put in place to form the rungs of a ladder. An assistant unfurls a giant roll of paper over the floor. Wearing gloves, the team members grab cardboard tubes from a box and empty gunpowder into plastic bowls. An assistant wheels the bowls on a cart across the studio. Using gunpowder like finger paint, Sai traces shapes onto the unfurled paper canvas. He secures two wire strips at the bottom of a ladder constructed of coiled tape, then dusts an area alongside it with gunpowder and incendiary pellets. The cardboard cutouts of the village and fishing boats are adhered to the bottom of the canvas. Sai stands by his work, gesturing methodically with his arms. Assistants cover the piece with sheets of construction paper. Sai lays out flattened cardboard boxes, then weighs them down with stones and bricks. Crawling out on his hands, he presses down hard on one section of the covered canvas. He then lights a fuse and quickly backs away from the artwork. An eruption of flames jolts the stones and bricks, weighing down the flattened boxes.
smoke billows out around the edges of the construction paper. As it plumes toward the vaulted ceiling, the assistants hurry back over. Blanketed in a dense fog of smoke, they remove the stones and bricks from the flattened boxes, then lift away the construction paper. Pulling aside a sheet of wax paper, they unveil the canvas scorched by the gunpowder. The base of the ladder is charred, while the rest is unaffected. Sai's team mounts the giant canvas on a board that stands as tall as a loft inside the studio. With the tape coils removed, a pale outline of the ladder stretches up into the sky through a cloud of gunpowder burn marks. Photos zip by like slides as text appears. Sai studied state design at the Shanghai Theater Academy from 1981 to 1985.
The mid-80s to the late 80s was one of the most exciting periods to be in China because everything started to open up. It was the post-Mao period, and people started to experiment in poetry, in art, in films, and so on. And there was quite a lot of freedom, in many ways freer than China is today.
Photos capture Sai laughing with friends around a table.
A lot of young people wanted to improve themselves. Everyone gathered together to discuss art and culture. People would say to Sai, although you're a hardworking artist, it is not possible for you to surpass Picasso. He'd say, why can't I surpass Picasso?
Sai stands by a massive abstract artwork.
But life was difficult in China, so he was intent on leaving the country, wherever that would take him.
A bullet train races through a countryside. Throngs of pedestrians traverse Tokyo's Shibuya crossing. Traders make frantic hand gestures at the Tokyo Stock Exchange. Gamblers fill rows of machines at a pachinko parlor. As a ball hits a spinning wheel, a red light starts blinking. Now text appears. Sai and Hong Hong moved to Japan in 1986. Outdoors, he sets off several controlled explosions on his canvases. A still photo captures one of the events at the moment of combustion.
I feel my art became much more pure after I arrived in Japan. Sensitivity to materials and the control of form.
A photo shows him and a colleague working with inky black paint.
I think Japanese contemporary art had a profound effect on him. This research back into materialism, the purity of material, the meaning of that, reduction of the practice, so you come to this essence.
In another snapshot, he holds a match to a piece of paper.
When discussing art in Japan, they would often ask, how is art in the Western world? I resisted this type of thinking of East versus West.
On a rocky beach, he stands in a pool of smoke from an explosion.
It was as if I had arrived at a dinner table, and there were Chinese and Western dishes, chaotically laid out. I wondered if I could ignore the table, or just pull the tablecloth out from under it. So I started to think about aliens in space, and how they would see our planet from the universe.
Pictures show Sai with Stephen Hawking and, separately, at a crop circle. In footage shot by Araki Takahisha, throngs of people trek up a dry hill. Text appears, Gobi Desert, China, 1993. Project for Extraterrestrials, number 10. A Chinese soldier keeps order. Several female spectators watch from the back of a truck with masks over their noses and mouths. Sai's team unfurls a huge cloth line that passes through an ancient fortress and far out into the dunes. More text appears. Project to extend the Great Wall of China by 10,000 meters. A worker with a red armband carries a box along the cloth line. A bundle of explosives is placed inside a pit. Sai stands by with a walkie-talkie. In the evening, he lights a fuse. Mini explosions rocket along the cloth line, snaking their way along the rocky dunes in bright flashes of fire and smoke. A dramatic photo image captures a plume of smoke rising up from the desert. The prow of a wooden boat cruises a sea with a rubber tire tied to its front. Sai sits among other passengers with the hood of his sweatshirt raised over his fatigue cap. Skyladder Project Location Scout in the fishing villages near Quanzhou.
I'm going to sketch a little bit so you have an idea of what I'm looking for. Here is the fishing village with its curving harbor. Here is a boat.
An aerial view surveys a thin strand of beach. Holding his cap behind his back, Sai gazes out at the shallows from behind a chain and pylon barricade.
This place has a sense of wonder, a rare quality that many other places lack. This could be the place. It's close to the image of a fishing village, as I remember it from childhood.
Text appears. Sai's home video, 2001, visiting his grandmother's ancestral fishing village.
Ideally, I would have done the skyladder at my grandmother's fishing village, but it was destroyed for redevelopment a few years ago. I'd like to find somewhere with the same magical atmosphere.
On-screen text identifies Sai's father as he greets a pair of elderly women in a building's ruins. More text appears as they lay paper bundles in small fires, burning ghost money in honor of the ancestors. Sai's grandmother stands watching as Sai Raking kneels before a red plastic bag and bows his head in prayer. He then genuflects, touching his head to the bag. Later, he lights a line of firecrackers. The camera films inside a dwelling through a series of doorways.
My grandma was always the family's pillar. When I was little, she already believed that I'd become a great artist. I would like to make this skyladder for her. Of course he cherishes his grandmother. He keeps her close to his heart. His granny represents his childhood, his town.
Identical new residential towers stand clustered together in a complex. Inside, Sai crosses a spacious apartment to a bedroom, where he finds his grandmother in a wheelchair, getting her white hair tied back into a ponytail by a nurse.
Wow. Look who's here. Haha, look who's here. Who am I?
Go Cheng.
Amazing, amazing. How amazing that you immediately recognize your Go Cheng. Oh, you're amazing. Go Cheng is your oldest grandson, isn't he? No one is as amazing as you. At the age of 100, I'm inviting you to come see my project. I am going to do a sky ladder in a fishing village. Do you hear me? Me, I am going to do a project by the sea, and you're invited to see it, okay?
His grandmother flaps her gums. Elsewhere, text appears outside an open bamboo gate leading to a three-story cement and cinder block facility, Sai's archive and workshop, Quanzhou. Sai heads up a staircase to a breezeway. Going inside, he shakes hands with two men.
Thank you for taking care of him.
He enters a crude hospice room.
Dad? Dad, it's me.
Sai pulls up pictures on his phone.
I saw Grandma yesterday.
Sai Raking stares blankly, a tube feeding into his nose.
Grandma is almost 100 years old. As I remember it, he and my grandmother often argued. But in their hearts, they relied on each other.
He holds his father's hand under his bedsheet.
He's been like this for 4 or 5 years. We can't let my grandmother see him in this state. He is incapable of communication. In my grandmother's eyes, he can still paint and write, and he can drink and stay up all night.
Sai rolls his tongue around his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, I don't know whether what I'm doing is right or not.
Footage shot by Araki Takahisa shows a parched mountain landscape whizzing by outside Sai's window in a vehicle. Now, an atomic bomb detonates. Its mushroom cloud crawls into the sky. Sai walks around an empty two-story wood frame house with a brick chimney. During a nuclear test, a similar house gets decimated by a shockwave. In more footage shot by Araki Takahisa, Sai stands at the rim of an immense crater in the sand. The Century with Mushroom Clouds, Project for the 20th Century, Nevada, 1996. At various sites, including New York City, Sai detonates small handheld explosives that emit white smoke. Captured in photographs, they appear as mushroom clouds over the environment. More text appears over a picture of young Wen Yu holding up her arm like the Statue of Liberty. In 1995, Sai and his family moved permanently to New York. Now, Thomas Krenz, Guggenheim Foundation.
For most of the late 1990s and the early 2000s, he was an emerging Chinese artist. Maybe the first pivotal moment was at Mass MoCA, which was in Massachusetts. That exhibition was Sai's first really big show. I remember when I saw it, it was clear to me that Sai had arrived. You know, this combination of space and scale and invention, that was the moment.
Light Cycle, Explosion Project for Central Park, New York, 2003.
I remember hearing about the explosion events well before I had ever seen an explosion event and thinking, that guy really nailed it.
To say that the Chinese artist Sai Kuo Zhang has exploded onto the contemporary art scene is no exaggeration.
That's what every artist is looking for, right, is a signature form. I took this material and I made it my own.
Ben Davis, national art critic, ArtNet News. Pyrotechnics zigzag across a network of construction cranes.
Early work has begun on the largest single installation ever commissioned for Brisbane's Gallery.
A retrospective of his works at the Guggenheim Museum in New York brought in record numbers.
How many explosions take to complete the painting? Just once.
Steven Spielberg meets Sai's team, and Sai is featured on the cover of Art Forum International. He helps bang the gavel at Christie's auction house. At one of his workshops, a packed audience is startled by flames rocketing around the edges of a covered canvas. Now, Wen Hao, Sai's youngest daughter, hits a badminton shuttlecock back and forth. A gunpowder portrait of Chairman Mao stands nearby.
Good.
Sai's apartment, Soho, New York, 2015. He lifts Wen Hao up in his arms and kisses her.
Kiss, Baba.
Outside, his tall figure strides up a sidewalk with a scarf wrapped around the lower half of his face. At a red brick building with a bright red door and a graffiti-covered garage gate, an all-female team works at a series of computer stations. File folders labeled for various projects sit in an organizer rack, including one prominently marked Skyladder. Custom signature stamps bear greetings for the various animals of the Chinese zodiac.
I'll go over what different effects will appear.
Words appear, designing a fireworks event for Argentina.
The sky is filled with stars. Blue stars. Cascades. Accompanied by the sound of ocean waves. Wash. Silver leaves fall in groups.
He speckles a sketch of his fireworks display with blue dots at the bottom. Now, Sai and his staff eat lunch in the studio.
Being a contemporary artist is not necessarily coming up with the brilliant theoretical breakthrough concept. The reality is that when you have achieved a level of recognition and you have the capacity to generate resources, you tend to push the technology to another level.
Pyrotechnics race in a giant circle around a sandy lot in the desert, leaving behind a ring of smoke and picking up speed as they go. Phil Grucci, president, CEO of Fireworks by Grucci.
We have developed many innovations that have created the ability for Sai
in his way to think outside of the box.
Synchronized shells burst in the sky, leaving a triangle of black smoke.
A pixel burst is a shell that launches in the sky, has an embedded computer chip on the inside. And with the embedded computer chip, you can control down to milliseconds the time that the shell is launched from a mortar to the time it explodes in the sky. If you could connect the dots, you can create some very amazing and very large-scale abstract images.
Transient Rainbow, New York, 2002. Multicolored fireworks explode over the East River. Building outward, they form an ephemeral arch between Manhattan and Queens.
I think the work is spectacular. That's a thing contemporary artists are doing, playing on the big stage.
Everybody clear on this line. Standing by for show in 1 minute.
This sort of pop art, merging of art and entertainment, is the currency of the day.
Life is a Milonga, Tango Fireworks for Argentina, 2015.
The difference between the first gunpowder explosion he did to these fireworks shows that he is now known for. One is really just in your face challenging the status quo. The other one's servicing, entertaining.
One Night Stand, Paris, 2013, features couples making love inside tents.
He is such a good showman. I have used him as an example of the top of the top. A very specific kind of artist. From there, you'd start like thinking about Damien Hirst, Takashi Murakami, Olafur Eliasson.
Black Ceremony, Doha, Qatar, 2011.
That's really the top of the top. Artists that function sort of like corporations or entrepreneurs who stamp their brand on everything. You're gonna do a massive fireworks display. The permitting alone. Like the power structures that embeds you in, the amount of money you need in order to do that. And that's going to produce an ideological pressure on your work. And it's not the easiest thing in the world to turn around and bite the hand that feeds you.
Cannon-like fireworks launchers send starbursts into a night sky. Fired in quick succession, the pyrotechnic footprints traverse a cityscape. Opening ceremony, Beijing Olympics, 2008. As the fireworks reach the National Stadium, sparklers shoot up from the rim of its streamlined rooftop. The Olympic rings form in pixels of light at the arena floor.
I had a goal for the opening ceremony, to make it more modern, international, and artistic.
The fireworks light up the city in red.
I had been working abroad for a long time, but if I could do this well, it would help the country and the people by not only making them feel important and proud, but also more open.
The Beijing Olympics were billed as China's coming out party of the world. Tremendous display of political spectacle, welding together culture and politics in this very deliberate way.
A Chinese flag flies.
I don't think there's any way to get around the fact that there's a real dark side to that. They displaced 1.5 million people in Beijing, tremendous ramping up of surveillance. People read this as a political statement, that it was an expression of state power, and it was a coordinated cultural spectacle meant to be awe-inspiring. It's a political thing that you need to talk about when you talk about how art interacts with a big event like this. His role in it is part of its meaning is that it was a piece of propaganda.
People always want to ask me, why do you collaborate with the Chinese government on these projects?
A grin appears on his face.
But everywhere in the world, artists work for their own governments on projects like the Olympic opening ceremony. For example, for the London Olympics, Damien Hirst designed a set inspired by the national flag. But this sort of thing is only an issue if you are Chinese. Working for my country only becomes problematic because I was born in China.
A car inches slowly through a tunnel crammed with pedestrians. Riding in back, Cy looks out on a wide plaza. Later, as he walks up a flight of stairs, text appears. Tiananmen Square. From outside an imperial-era palatial building, Cy gazes upon crowds of people admiring a massive floral display, shaped like a vase of flowers. Back in Quanzhou.
So this is the only place we can raise the sky ladder. Even though I invited all my friends from across the country, the best airship guy, the best technical director, the best firework designer, etc., it's the people on this island. They deserve to have the best in China.
Tatsumi Masatoshi, technical director, Sai Studio.
Sai's doing this with the farmers from here. There is a lot of meaning in doing it with farmers. Anyone really serious about this project would be asking the People's Liberation Army for help.
Every time he's trying to realize a project like Scala, there we need many supports from local people.
The locals hammer together a framework.
Without their help, without their passion, and without their involvement, we cannot realize it at all.
At a computer.
This ship is going to move to here? Yes, from here to here. So it should be achievable. And then there's no need to attach a chain or anything to this.
Tatsumi has been technical director with Cy Studio for over 20 years. Whenever Cy is doing his projects around the world, Tatsumi will fly from Japan. He keeps saying to Cy that this won't happen. You won't be able to do it. This is stupid. The project is way too complicated. You're not going to make it.
Sang Lo, Skyladder project manager.
Because it will touch the electric wire, this angle. If you put it in here, it will hit, so you can't do it there. It's diagonal, so if you don't make it straight...
Cy climbs inside a giant balloon. He tumbles down the soft, curved surface. Standing on his feet, he stretches out his arms in the cavernous white space. Sitting on his rear end, he scoots backwards a couple of feet, up the curved wall, then lies back.
Very calming. Very peaceful.
He folds his hands behind his head. Fireworks burst in a night sky. In 2014, Cy agreed to work for the Chinese government again to produce a fireworks show for the Asia-Pacific Economic Conference, APEC. APEC fireworks testing. Three aerial bursts bloom like flowers.
Before I started the project, I put a lot of thought into it. I wanted it to be more than just style. My first aim was to develop environmentally friendly fireworks. My second idea was to find a way for the fireworks to interact with a video display. The third idea was political. As a country, we no longer need to depend on bombastic ceremonies with thousands of performers, gongs, and drums. Rather, I hoped we could engage people through a joke or a story.
Words appear. Cy meets with Beijing Communist Party officials to discuss his plans for the event. One of the men around a U-shaped table lights a cigarette.
Firstly, the video is gone. Then the story was dropped. So now the risk is the ceremony might become a standard fireworks show.
Many of the other Stoic Party officials smoke as well. Cy's expression grows more and more despondent as the meeting goes on, and his lips purse tightly.
Why am I still here? We have to make being environmentally friendly a characteristic of this firework performance. It can make our ceremony a tipping point. Furthermore, making fireworks environmentally friendly has to be done sooner or later. The whole industry has realized how important it is to its survival, so it's something people must do. The innovation is great, but as I mentioned, security and stability are equally important. If these departments disapprove, I'll have to respect them. I'm telling you, the government is here to help you. You have to figure out something creative with all these chains on you. I'm a pragmatist. Mao taught us to be practical and realistic. So overall, our measures are in accordance with your idea. We'll support you only when you follow the rules.
Tsai heads with a group through a crosswalk. A small contingent of Chinese soldiers marches behind them. Tsai puts his belongings through an X-ray machine and walks through a metal detector. A security guard frisks him. Outside the Beijing National Stadium, a team in hard hats readies fireworks to be launched, connecting their fuses to control boards. Dress rehearsal for APEC opening ceremony.
It seems I have compromised my work on this time after time. I feel awfully frustrated.
Zhang Yimou, film director and creative director, Beijing Olympics and APEC.
Art needs to be free, but these projects have political requirements, and one can do nothing about it. This is China's current situation. I personally am very familiar with these circumstances. So when you talk about creative work on these projects, those artists who grew up in free Western countries are not able to understand this. We really envy them, but there is nothing we can do about it.
Every project, there's always a thing. This is what I'm doing. Everything else doesn't matter. It's fluff. But I have to have the fluff to protect the center. The footprints was that for the Olympics.
What was the artistic concept that he had at the heart of what he did at APEC?
I don't know it. There was one when it started, but it was lost along the way, and he knew it was lost. That's why I don't understand why he did it.
Multicolored spotlights shine into the night sky from a boulevard outside the Beijing National Stadium, lined with street lamps shaped like giant plant stalks. A logo encased inside the building's porous steel trusses reads, APEC China 2014. Spectators wave glow sticks as a motorcade arrives. Tsai looks on from nearby as performers in traditional dress dance atop tiered platforms that flank a glowing red carpet-like driveway. President Obama exits a limo and shakes hands with a Chinese greeter. He and other world leaders all wear matching robe-like silk jackets with layers of black and deep purple. Tsai watches the proceedings from monitors in a control room. The heads of state line up in front of a sign reading, the 22nd APEC Economic Leaders Meeting.
I always worry about mixing art and politics.
APEC opening ceremony.
I put myself in a difficult position.
Scores of drummers perform a routine.
But as artists, can't we help change the system by working within it?
As the drummers jump up, pyrotechnics erupt from the stadium's curved rooftop while fireworks burst in the air. Twinkling shells light up the night sky. Synchronized, crisscrossing fireworks launched from the curved rooftop of the bird's nest-shaped Beijing National Stadium. A concentric line of fireworks traces it from the ground, creating an awesome spectacle of falling sparks. Explosions within explosions fill the sky. Sparkling flares shoot in a geyser, and bright rainbows rocket down the Olympic green. Enormous rows of sparks shoot for the sky like the dancing waters of a musical fountain. Fireballs launch past a steel truss. From miles away, the lights flash on the reflective surface of a lagoon before finally subsiding. The door to a one-story brick building lies open. Inside are shelves filled with rows of miniature terracotta dioramas. Using a photograph in a book for reference, a middle-aged man molds a new work out of clay that depicts a long-haired figure cooking something in a lidded pot. Words appear. Tsai is visiting this unknown artist to discuss a potential collaboration. Cy smiles admiringly. The unknown artist uses a toothpick for detailing.
He likes making sculptures of small animals very much. There are nearly 1,000 pieces here, and some smaller ones are kept in the boxes below. Why do you like little animals, Hu? I really like small animals, especially puppies. Did you keep animals in your house before? I once kept dogs, but all my dogs were brutish and eventually were beaten to death by other people.
Cy follows a young man into a back room.
Let me clean it up. It's okay, you don't have to. Actually, I cleaned up in here a little bit today. Oh, does he sleep here? Yes, this is my father's bed. He usually lies here and watches DVDs. The DVD player is so small. You sleep here? Yes, I sleep on the upper bed.
Cy looks around, smiling at the small room.
This looks like a real artist's home.
Hu's son follows him back out to the workshop with a grin on his face. More delicate figurines show people interacting harmoniously with animals.
I was like a lunatic when my wife passed away. I had no purpose or anything, like my life had come to an end. Then I started to play with mud and clay. It was like being on drugs. I couldn't bear one day without making sculptures. It's just like being on drugs. I'd wake up at 6 or 6:30 every morning, brush my teeth, have some noodles, and then start making sculptures.
Is there something that you like particularly collaborating with untrained artists?
Yes, a lot of artists do things that are too commercial. It lacks some compulsive and sincere emotion that should exist in all art. Collaborating with them will always remind me of the pleasure I felt and my original purpose for doing art.
In footage shot by Araki Takahisa, Cy sets off one of his handheld mushroom cloud-shaped bursts of white smoke over a desert landscape.
For any artist, once they reach a certain level at a certain age, and once they've become famous enough, they face this problem.
Lu Shodong, artist.
They have to confront what their original intention was. They will also face a lot of people's questions and doubts. The more successful an artist is, the more dangerous a situation is.
Cy sets off another smoky burst at the sheer edge of a canyon.
When you're saying, I want to go to a nuclear test ground and do an explosion out of my hand, you know, everyone's going to be like, you got to be fucking crazy. No way. We're not going to let you. Yes, I want to do it. No, we're not going to let you. Versus, here's $2 million. What do you want to do? Anything you want to do. Okay, how can a person not be different? When you haven't gone very far, it's easy for you to pick one step. You've been to a place where you've never been before. But if you've gone as far as him, you know, it's harder to take one more step out. So how do you challenge yourself?
The white smoke dissipates against a blue sky. Back in China, a large party rides a fishing boat past a coastal oil refinery.
Sky Ladder is the most difficult project of all.
Workers drag strings of kelp off a boat to shore, then hook others already on the beach and use a winch to load them onto the boat.
This will be my fourth attempt to realize it. This time, I'm doing it for myself and my family and for my grandmother in particular, who just turned 100 years old.
An aerial view circles the tiny island of cramped apartment towers.
To this day, I still think Sky Ladder is close to impossible to realize, but Cy is very insistent on making this project work. He's so obsessed and determined.
Lightning flashes at night. Cy and his support team wait indoors wearing rain ponchos. Words appear, project delayed by bad weather for 3 days. In the daytime, the team unfurls the giant white canvas balloon on a floating platform surrounded by boats.
Making Sky Ladder is just like burning money. It's so expensive to produce. Do you know how much money we're putting into this? Plus, we have to execute all of this in secret. How many people will get to see it? We can't even invite an audience to come and see it. This time, Sky Ladder is just for Sai's grandmother. That's all.
In his grandmother's apartment, Sai talks on the phone.
Listen, if we can't solve this problem, we cannot proceed with this project. We will stop all the work and we will simply withdraw. No need to spend all the money. Because it really is impossible. If it's broadcast tonight on Guangzhou TV channel, there will be seas of people watching at the seaside tomorrow. When the airship comes, everybody will be taking photos and publicizing it. Anything like this is impossible. Under the sky of the Communist Party, it's absolutely forbidden.
His grandmother's nurse spoon-feeds her some rice. In a temple, Sai bows prayerfully while holding three giant sticks of incense. Outside, his wife holds her eyes closed and her palms pressed together in meditation. Sai puts a small stick of incense in a holder before bowing his head in prayer again. At night, the balloon starts to inflate. Team members are still at work on a metal frame at its base. One man's gloved hand grips a mesh net that rises up and over the inflating balloon. Sai walks us through the process.
This balloon is pulled by the cables. Now they are trying to lock the frame onto a steel cable inside the balloon.
A foreman barks orders through a megaphone.
The frame will flip over when the balloon rises. We have to ignite at 3:30 a.m. Yes, so time is at stake. The problem right now is that the balloon may break if it's inflated too quickly. All our efforts will be in vain once the daylight kicks in, so we need to be fast.
Working frantically, the crewmen screw clamps onto rigging. Someone falls back against the balloon. Sai lays sideways on the ground, looking up. The still inflating balloon levitates off the floating barge. On the beach, the locals arrange the rungs of the sky ladder a couple feet apart from each other. Suspended from a metal truss, the upper section of the ladder starts to lift into the air. A worker gently feeds some of the cable through his hands. Sai's close relatives and mother arrive. They sit along a cement dock, watching the action. 4:49 a.m. China Standard Time, June 15, 2015. Sai's wife video chats on his phone.
Grandma, it's Hong Hong here. Yes, it's your Go Cheng.
I'm going to create an artwork, an explosion, for you to see. You stay awake. I'm about to start.
Sai's grandmother is too ill to make the trip.
Twelve, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignite.
Sai lights a fuse clamped to a chain barricade, and sparks work their way across a long rope over the water to the floating platform, leaving a trail of smoke in their wake. Reaching the ladder, they split up the two sides and ignite the rungs as they flash upward in fits and bursts. In the pre-dawn light, rows of fishing boats can be glimpsed below in the shallows and on the damp seashore. The quick-burning fuses trace the ladder's shape to an elevation higher than the island's highest rooftops. A relative points out the sky ladder to Sai's grandmother on her tablet. Sai steps into view. he gives a joyful thumbs up. The gold fireworks trace their way upward into the sky rung by rung, seeming to climb by magic in the low light conditions. As the sections light up, they stay aglow above the quaint island. Sai proudly watches his dream being realized in front of his eyes. The ladder of fire bends softly as it rises from its anchor on the floating platform to the heavens. Sai's mouth hangs agape in awe. Smoke wafts from the sizzling rectangles formed by the rungs. A few of the lower sections start to burn out, leaving gaps in the fiery display.
Listen to that sound, full of power and grandeur.
The project is finally launched. It's finally a safe day to do this. It's very hard work. These people have been through some difficult days.
Hong gets Sai in frame on the video chat.
Grandma, did you see? Isn't your grandson awesome?
He kisses his wife's cheek.
It's amazing, amazing, amazing. You can go back to sleep now. Go to sleep. Sleep. Eat something if you're hungry, though.
Folding his arms, Sai gazes back up at his sky ladder, which has now burned down to its last few embers in the morning light. The upper section remains fully lit below the helium balloon.
It was very good, wasn't it? The ascending explosion? Very beautiful. It looked beautiful? Very beautiful.
Thank you.
Sai hugs a crying female.
I need to give a hug to Kang, too. We were so worried. Thank you for the hard work. Manager Yu, you are very welcome. Amazing sound. The sound of the flame was beautiful.
A few media personnel crowd around as Sai gives out more hugs to his friends and staffers.
Mr. Sai Go-Cheng is our relative by marriage. His younger brother is my son-in-law. Mr. Sai Go-Cheng has made a great contribution to our hometown, Guangzhou. This gunpowder project accomplished here is the realization of his dream from 21 years ago. We, as his relatives, as Guangzhou people, feel very proud.
Full satisfaction. It's amazing. Unbelievable. Small village, huge potential. This humble place is honored by your presence, Master Sai. We tried many places throughout the world, but failed, only to find success at Huiyu Island. Terrific. You have been around the globe, but ended up making it at your hometown.
Sai dumps a glass of champagne over his own head, then embraces his wife. They all toast to their successful venture. As the others continue to converse around him, Sai gazes back wistfully over the water. Having finally burnt out, the ladder is now but a faint trace in the sky.
Thank heavens. After so many difficult days, we managed it.
He blinks heavily. He wipes his eyes on his sleeve, then peels off his champagne-soaked sweatshirt. A woman on her cell phone waves to his wife, who waves back tearfully. Hong dabs at her eyes with the back of her wrist. Sai strokes her hair. He gives her a tissue. He holds her champagne flute for her and pats her on the shoulder while she dries her tears. Leaning back against the post, she gazes up into the sky and lets a calm overtake her. Her chin quivers slightly. As Sai happily gazes out toward the erstwhile location of his sky ladder, the picture cuts to black. In memory of Chen Aigan, Tsai's grandmother, who passed away 1 month after seeing the sky ladder. She was 100 years old. Titles appear over close-up computer-generated glimpses of embers floating around the gunpowder artwork that depicts the sky ladder. Directed by Kevin MacDonald, produced by Wendy Murdoch, produced by Hugo Xiong, produced by Fisher Stevens, shifting light illuminates the ladder rungs scorched onto the canvas. Executive producer, Bennett Miller. Executive producers, Adam Del Deo, Ben Kottner, Lisa Nishimura. Executive producers, Angus Wall, Jason Sturman. Co-producer, Alice Henty. Co-producers, Julie Neves, Shan-Shan Shah. Director of Photography, Robert Yeoman, ASC, Florian Zink. Edited by Nick Emerson, Adam Biskupski. Music by Alex Heffs. Associate producer, Ruchi Mittal. Associate director, Shan-Shan Shah. Additional editor, Austin Danes. Our view tracks up along the scorched ladder towards the section that remains unsinged, then lifts up into a black void speckled with floating embers. More credits roll. Copyright 2016 by Great Wall Star Media, LLC, and DJM Holding Limited, all rights reserved. Great Wall Star Media, LLC, and DJM Holding Limited is the author of this motion picture for purposes of copyright and other laws. Ownership of this motion picture is protected pursuant to the copyright laws of the United States of America and other countries and other applicable laws. Any unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition of this motion picture may result in civil and criminal liability and criminal prosecution. Logos appear, Insurgent Media, a line bisects all but the G in the first word. Stars and stripes are embedded in a rampart, Great Wall Star Media. The word Cinetech appears twice, forming an X shape. Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red, Netflix.